Michigan's economy and culture has been positively impacted by the craft beer and wine industry. But if beer or wine isn't your style, don't fret. Michigan is one of the most small distiller-friendly states in the nation, and as a result, the state's spirit industry is growing. Chris Berglund is an MSU Distinguished Professor of Food Science and Chemical Engineering. He's also one of the leaders in the craft distillers movement. Chris, welcome to Current State.
Thank you very much.
So before 2008, it was illegal for distillers to sell their product on site in Michigan, and that law has now been changed. Tell us a little bit about your role in getting that legislation moved or so that you can do that on site now.
Sure. I think the overall passage of the bill was a pretty good example about how things could actually work. I have been working in this field for a long time, and we kind of recognized that there was this problem of not being able to make particularly grain-based spirits and sell them on premises. And so I contacted Barb Byram, who's the representative for one of the Ingham County districts here, and discussed it with her. And she agreed to shepherd a bill of this nature through the legislature. I explained to her what the problems are. The Byram family, Diane, of course, is the trustee at MSU, are well known about small business, and so they recognize that this is important. So basically, Barb helped put together. I helped her, you know, with some of the details, but she did a lot of the politics and got, you know, a bunch of the different people at the table. To do that, we had a bunch of hearings we went to. We had a lot of meetings, but pretty much everybody who had an interest had some input in the process. And by the time it was all done, it went before the Senate and the House committees. The hearings were held. It was unanimous. Nobody changed any of the wording in the bill, which is actually remarkable. It was unanimous in the House, and it passed 35-3 in the Senate. And then Governor Granholm signed it. So it took us about a year to do it, but all the people that had an interest in it had a place at the table, and were able to have input. And it actually, most of the input that people had in there made it a much better bill by the end of the day.
So how has this change in legislation impacted the local distillery scene?
Well, we're seeing a pretty strong growth at this point, and it's because of the fact you can actually have effectively like a cocktail bar on premises with your distillery and not have to get a liquor license. That's the key thing. And so we've seen in the southeast part of Michigan, we're starting to see quite a bit of growth. We have Ruffino Valentine in Ferndale that has this sort of thing. Two Jameses is going into Corktown. They're going to open up maybe in the next month or so. Detroit City Distillery is going to open up in the East Market. So we're seeing a lot of movement in the southeast part. But predominantly, most of the other action has actually been in the central and western parts of the state. But now we're seeing it migrate to southeast Michigan, which I think is really positive. Put this in perspective, in 1996, we had zero small distillers in the state of Michigan. And as of last week, I think we had over 30 licenses that have been issued by the state. That doesn't mean there's 30 distilleries, but they have 30 licenses, and that's one way to count them. But it does give you some idea. There is a rate of growth that's sort of parallels what's happening in the microbrewing and the small winery businesses.
Did you anticipate that there would be this much growth?
Yes, I think we did. And part of the reason is that many of the people that are entering this business are already a wine producer or a brewer. And so they're already familiar with this industry, and so their success rate's going to be higher, and they're not novices to this type of business. And so we kind of anticipated that in just the discussions with people, that if they could see an opportunity to actually sell spirits on site with their microbrewery, let's say, that was a nice opportunity for them, and that people were going to get into that business. So it's not particularly surprising that that we're seeing that level of growth, and it looks like it's going to continue for quite some time.
So as this industry keeps on growing, how big of an economic impact do you foresee it having throughout the state of Michigan?
Well, it should have some pretty significant. I mean, it should be eventually get into the hundreds of millions kind of thing. It's a little bit like counting chickens, though, because too often people have more than one license, and how you separate out the two. It's often that the sum of the whole is more than the sum of the parts, if you know what I mean. And so the overall business that people generate by having distilleries with the winery may make both of the enterprises go bigger. So sometimes it's a little bit hard, but I don't think there's any question that we can get into the fairly significant amount of money in terms of, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars a year. That's not even a very large fraction of the Michigan beverage industry. So any kind of reasonable penetration, if we could get to 3 to 4 to 5% penetration, that's going to be a very significant number.
You mentioned two distilleries that are located kind of in the Detroit area. Do you see that playing a role at all in Detroit's kind of resurgence, becoming a spot for distilleries?
I think it is. I mean, I think somebody else was just talking to me in the same area. They haven't actually announced their distillery yet. So I know at least four are going to be down there pretty soon, and I suspect there'll be others that follow. But I do believe that's going to help some with Detroit.
One important thing to note about the law, I think one of the most interesting things, is that it's really important, the idea that there's tasting rooms on sites, that you can have this on-site distilleries. Why is that experience important for both the consumer and the distiller to be able to have that spirit made?
Right. We've done that for a long time with wineries, and we do that with breweries as well. They let people do that. Spirits benefits even more by that, because if you look at a fifth of a spirit, let's say a fifth of vodka, it's likely that its purchase price is going to be in the $30 range, okay? Most people don't want to buy something worth $30 that they have no idea what's in the bottle. And so that's why having this ability on premises is really, really important. It also allows these small distillers to make some very specialty products that may not even be appropriate for distribution, but people will come there and see these special spirits and enjoy that experience as well. And so it's sort of a destination experience, and that's just like what we have here in East Lansing. Red Cedar Spirits is where we run the MSU program out of, and that's the same thing. People come there because they can see things and taste things that they just can't get anyplace else.
And you just mentioned it right there. MSU this year is launching a beverage science and technology specialization within their program. What do students who enroll in this program learn? What is this program all about?
The beverage science and technology specialization is designed to give people a relatively broad understanding of beverage manufacturing. And it's the main goal is that. So we have classes in micro, we have classes in horticulture, we have a class in food science, it's fermented beverages, we have a class in chemistry, which is the technology and science of winemaking, maybe the only chemistry class in the country that's taught at a major university's chemistry department, and then chemical engineering at MSU teaches brewing and distilling technology. So we have three different departments actively in three different colleges that are doing this. So what we anticipate, sort of a typical student will probably be someone majoring in food science, maybe micro, maybe chemistry, maybe chemical engineering, and they'll take these 15 credits as part of their program. And since they already have a really solid science background, this additional 15 credits really can go a very long way in preparing them to have some entry-level skills to work in these different industries.
And you mentioned that the brewery has this on-site tasting. Why is that an essential part of the learning experience for students?
Well, one of the things that we're doing in the tasting room at Red Cedar Spirits, and we're in the process of doing this, is working with hospitality business, because their students are in the hospitality side of things, and they will be some of the people that will be employed as interns in the tasting room. So they'll get some firsthand experience as well. It's always useful, though, for someone who's like a chemical engineer that knows how to make the spirits to actually know how to pour a cocktail, too. So, I mean, the continuum of things is actually useful, too. But it also lets us really emphasize the business elements of this business. And students really see, you know, where the money comes and where the money goes. And they understand the ins and outs if you see the full continuum of activities.
This may be a little bit of a loaded question, but what are some of your favorite local spirits?
They're all God's children as far as I'm concerned. And I don't really play favorites. Of course, we think ours are the best, but that's another story.
Of course, of course. Well, Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Chris Berglund is a leader in the craft distiller movement and an MSU Distinguished Professor of Food Sciences and Chemical Engineering. Thanks again.
Thank you.